We are going to pick it up from the middle of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, right after the end of that sugya that has to do with Gezel. When we get back to the issue of Lulav HaYavesh, that's where we're going to pick it up from. So did you see? It's a little bit lower than the middle. The first word in the line is Demei. Then there's a period and it says Tana, Yavesh Pasal. You guys have it? Okay, phone's away, 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 phone's away, meaning on my desk, in the cubby, no phones. No, you ready? We are in the middle of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. There's a period after the first word, Demei, and this is Tana, Yavesh Pasal. You have it? Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, middle? A little below the middle. No? You find it?
Might not be the first one.
Five different years is different.
Where are we?
In the middle, a little bit lower in the middle of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. There's a period, at least in my Gemara, and it says Tana Yavesh. The second word on the line is Tana Yavesh Pasal Buda Machshir. Tana. We learn Yavesh Pasal, but Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. So this is not what we saw in our Mishnah. Is it? What did our Mishnah say? Who remembers? Lulav ha-gazol v'ha-yavesh
Pasal.
Rabbi Yehuda Machshir?
No.
Rabbi Yehuda is not appearing in that film. So why? Oh, someone's going over here. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Amar Rava. So that's a braisa. That's some sort of comment on our Mishnah. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda said that yavesh is kosher. Amar Rava says Rava Machleik to Lulav. The Machleikis here between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakhama is only regarding what? Lulav. And not what? As opposed to what?
Petra.
Any of the other meaning, Esrog or Hadassim or Rabbis. The Rabbanan Savre, because the Tanakhama, the mainstream opinion, holds. Makshinan Lulav La Esrog. What's a Makshinan? Who remembers? Hekesh. What's a Hekesh? Meaning in the pasuk that the terms are next to each other and therefore they are connected. Ma esrig by hadar, just like esrig requires hadar. How do you know it requires hadar? Because it's called pre-aids.
Hadar.
So, assumingly, that means beautiful. It's the fruit of a beautiful tree. So beautiful. Beautiful is dried out. It's not beautiful.
Fruit of a beautiful tree.
That's what it sounds like, right? Pre-aids hadar. Why what?
So why does the fruit have to be beautiful itself?
That's a great question. It seems to be a drasha, and we'll see that there are a few issues going on over here. The Torah could have said esrog. The Torah doesn't call it an esrog. It just says the fruit of a beautiful tree. Does that mean any beautiful tree? It can be anything? No. Torah Shabbat Peh says it has to be an esrog. Would we have known it's esrog from the term pre-Eitz Hadar? So, maybe yes, maybe no. Because on the one hand, it depends on how you read the word hadar. If hadar means beautiful, so then, I don't know, I don't like that tree. I find other trees more beautiful. But there's another explanation, as we'll see, of hadar, which is what? Anybody know? Hadar. That
generation.
That lives. Like dira.
Okay.
So that lives on the tree. What do you mean lives on all fruit? Lives on the tree. Oh. No. This lives on the tree. How long does it take an esrog to grow? Esrogs grow. It takes another long time. Not the tree, but the fruit. The fruit also is there from year to year. It lasts a long time.
Yeah,
the esrog. Go take a look. When you get a chance, don't go on your phone now. But when you get a chance, you'll take a look. You know, hey Google. You know that works now too. So you can do some research on esrog trees. It's very, very interesting. The fruit is very unusual. It has interesting impact the halacha on when you have to take which maisros from esrog trees, because what year is it from? Is it defined as the next year? Is it defined as the previous year? And it messes things up. So it's a very interesting thing, even al pi halacha. But it does, the esrog is actually on a tree longer than most fruits are on the tree. So because of that, it could mean that pre-Eitz Hadar, it's the fruit of a tree that it lives on longer than other fruits, but that probably is also a drasha.
If we were calling a tree beautiful, wouldn't we say pre-me-eitz-hadar or me-eitz-hadar from a beautiful tree?
So you want to say maybe the simple pshat is that it's a pri of a tree and the pri is hadar?
Yeah, dying now we're talking about it. Like, it's kind of like you would read it like as if there's hyphen between the word pri and eitz.
Okay, maybe that's one way to look at it. But definitely is a lot of Torah Shabbat Peh going on over here to really be able to pinpoint what it is. So Chazal is saying something here definitely has to be hadar, and not even everyone will agree, as maybe you saw it from later on in the Gemara, not everyone will even agree if it refers to the Esrei. But for now, the Gemara is assuming that for sure the Esrei has to be beautiful, has to be hadar, and therefore there's a hekesh, because the very next thing listed in the pasuk is the lulav, and therefore that lulav also has to be hadar based on a hermeneutic principle of a hekesh. It's just one of the ways you have to read the Torah. Okay? Makshin on lulav esrig. Ma esrig by hadar af lulav by hadar. Just like esrig requires to be beautiful, so to the lulav requires to be beautiful. That is the Tanakhama. So how can Rabbi Yehuda hold it's not necessary? Rabbi Yehuda sabar loy makshin on lulav the esrig. He thinks that you don't make the hekesh. Okay, so now we have to ask ourselves, well, why would someone make a hekesh and someone else not make a hekesh? That requires more information. Okay, but in any case, but according to this, everyone would agree that you need hadar by the esrei. So what would that mean? That would mean that when we say lulav, hagazel, vayavesh is pasul, and Rabbi Huda is machshir, he's only machshir lulav to be dried out. But an esrog which is dried out, even Rabbi Huda would agree is a problem. Is no good, is puzzle. Uva lulav lo bayirvira hadar. So before the Gemara addresses, so there are two issues here. One issue is that we've established, or we've at least assumed, suggested, that Rabbi Huda holds that lulav can still be kasher when it is dried out, when it is yavesh. The other point we're making is Rabbi Huda does hold that an esrog cannot be yavesh. It has to be hadar. Those are two points that Gemara is going to question both of them. So the Gemara starts off by questioning, really? Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav can be yavesh? It doesn't require hidur? Lulav lo bayi, Rabbi Yehuda, hadar? V'hatna, but didn't we learn in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda, ayim, Rabbi Yehuda says, yagdenu milmala, in our Mishnah. We said that if the leaves of the lulav branch become spread out, so Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said you have to make sure that you tie them up on top so it doesn't end up being spread out. Yeah? Why? My taima, la mishum de bayi hadar. Isn't it because it has to be beautiful? And when it starts going like this, beautiful, beautiful, and it's nice, straight. Isn't that the reason? And if that's the reason, then how could it be Rabbi Huda would allow lulav to be yavesh, but it can't be spread out? Does it make sense? It's all one rule that it has to be beautiful, it has to be hadar. Or it says, no, look, you're wrong. What do you mean? I'm wrong. He doesn't require hidur by lula. Well, then why do you have to tie it up? Kidikatani taima, as we are taught, the reason is Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Mishum Rabbi Tarfon. We just said in the name of Rabbi Tarfon. Kapois tamarim. The phrase the Torah uses to describe lulav is kapois tamarim. Don't read it as kapois, but as kafus. Kafus means bound, tied up. So it's a drasha that it means that it has to be tied up, but it's not a halacha in it having to be beautiful. V'imhaya parur yikatfenu, that if it becomes spread out, you have to tie it up. Okay, so strike one. Here's the pitch. V'lo by hadar. But don't we say, according to Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds, ain oigdenes a lulav, you don't buy, you don't tie up the lulav except with its own species, meaning you have to take a leaf from the lulav and use that to tie up the arba minim. Yeah?
So if we go back to the original Mishnah, and it says about Rabbi Yehuda saying, Yagdenu milamala, does that mean that he's saying that it's not kosher if it's not tied up because of this?
That is a very good question. When Rabbi Yehuda holds that it means kafus, does he mean that that's like bidyeved, it's no good? It's a possibility. We'd have to do further research and figure out if it's a
problem. You have to tie it regardless if it's nifidim or not.
What do you mean?
So
I mean, what if it's not spread out?
So what if it's not spread out? Does that mean that he ties it regardless? And therefore,
sounds like not. The phrase of the Gemara is v'im haya parud yikasvenu.
So why would he say read it as kafut?
What do you mean?
If he's saying no, read it as kaput or kaput, to tie it up, then it should be tied regardless if it's spread out or not. So, like...
That's a good point. Okay. Not sure. It's clear that Rabbi Yehuda holds you only have to tie it if it becomes spread out. So then why? Not sure.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
So the Gemara says, another attempt to show that Rabbi Yehuda requires hadar by lulav. How so? We learn a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda held that when you tie the three out of the four, minim, together, has to be tied with lulav leaves. My time, what's the reason? Isn't it because that's what makes it the most beautiful? And if you're tying with other things, it's not going to be beautiful? Come on. Look, nope. Rava said, you can tie it, but you can tie it up with other things also. It has to be related to the lulav, it has to be related in one way, but it's not really halacha that it has to be specifically lulav leaves. It could even be with a sieve. Sieve is, I don't know how to translate it. Maybe one of you guys had a better translation. But it's some sort of stuff that grows around the lulav tree, but it's not the actual lulav branches itself. Or the ikra d'dikla means the bark, which, truth of the matter is old lulavim, but it doesn't look like a lulav anymore. But even with the bark of the palm tree. So what's the reason that Rabbi Yehuda requires you to tie it in general? Is really and that it has to be minoy, if it's not an issue in being beautiful. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds the kasavar lulav tzarich eged, the lulav, the three out of the four minim, require you have to tie it up together. And if you'll bring another species, in other words, it has to be siv or ikra didikl, it has to be one of those things that grows from the lulav tree. It can't be from some other plant. Why is that? Because if you'll bring mina achrina, a different species, havelhu chamisha minim, you'll end up with five species in your lulav. That's his problem. It has nothing to do with hidur mitzvah or hadar. It has nothing to do with any of that. It simply has to do with the fact that you're going to be holding in your hands five different species. The esrig, the lulav, hadas, niravis, and whatever you tied it up with. And that'll be a fifth, and that you can't do because you're not allowed to add two mitzvahs. Okay, so far we've established the Rabbi Yehuda's other places where Rabbi Yehuda requires things that we might have assumed is required to make it beautiful is not really the reason. The reason is because of ancillary issues. So we have concluded Rabbi Yehuda does not require hidur by lulav, and that's why he holds a lulav hayavesh is kasher. Because even though it's not beautiful, it's still good. So then the Gemara goes in the other direction. But according to what we said, Rabbi Yehuda does require hadar by esrig. He just doesn't make the hekesh. Is that true? Esrig, me, boy, Rabbi Yehuda, hadar. By esrig, who says that Rabbi Yehuda requires hadar? V'hatanya, but didn't we learn in a braisa? Arbas minim sheba lulav. There's four species of lulav. Kishem she'en poichasin mehen. Kach ein meisifin alayhen. Just like you're not allowed to take any away, you're not allowed to add any on. Okay. Lo matza esrig. Let's say that you're in a time where you really could not locate, you couldn't find an esrig. Lo yavi lo parish v'lo rimayin v'lo davar acher. You're not allowed to bring a parish. A parish apparently is a quince. V'lo rimayin and not a pomegranate. A quince actually looks like an esrig. A pomegranate, I'm not sure why a person would think you could bring a pomegranate. It doesn't look like an esrig, but okay. You can't bring a pomegranate. Maybe it's beautiful. V'lo davar acher, and not another type of fruit either. Okay, what does that do with us? So far, do you see from here that Rabbi Yehuda requires hadar by esrig? So far, not. Kumushin ksheirin. If they are, I'm going to use the word they on purpose, because it didn't spell out what exactly we're talking about. Did you notice that? It said, arbas minim shebelulav, the four species of the lulav. You have to make sure you have four, no more, no less. If you don't have one of them, again, same point. You can't have, well that's part of the problem, right? Let's set it up step by step. First statement of the Braisa is, you got to have all four. No more, no less. What if I can't find one? So maybe you should make sure you have a fourth. No, you can't bring one of the others, but then I'm going to have too few. Okay, I don't know, sorry, it's a problem. But what can I tell you? You can't replace it if you don't have it. Okay. Then it says, K'mushin K'sherin. If they, sounds like we're talking about all four species, right? Not just the Ezra. Sounds like all of them, no? K'mushin, if they're just a little bit shriveled, kosher, they're still K'sherin, they're still kosher. Yevashin, once they're technically dried up, so then they are puzzle. Once you can use them as slingshot in the old city and you'll get in trouble in your yeshiva, so then that is, you know, the dried up esrogim? They get really hard and you can use them in your slingshot from the top of the building and raise it. Sorry. Anyway, so that didn't happen. So that's already considered to be dry and that's no good. They're rock hard. I didn't, but somebody else did. I did not. I didn't get in any trouble. I was a goody two-shoes. It was the other people that ended up in the ambulances and the other people that ended up getting arrested by the Mossad. And it was the other people that walked in covered in mud one day. I didn't do any of those things. I'm boring. Anyway, we had a fun time. I still remember this Mossad guy commanding this guy's room. He never wore a piece of clothes twice. He had a foot of clothes piled in his room. And so this Mossad guy walks in and searches his room and just walks out and goes, I have never seen anything like this. He was like, anyway. So, yeah, it says here, K'mushim K'sherin, Yavashim Sulin. That if it's K'mush, it's just a little bit shriveled, it's still kosher. But Yavash, once it's dry, so then it is pasul. It doesn't say what it's talking about, but assumingly all of the four species, that's what we've been talking about until now, right? Rabbi Huda says, Af Yavashim, even if they're totally dry. So there's Rabbi Huda saying that even if the esrog is totally dry, it's still kosher. Right? Wow, okay, so there you have it. So Rabbi Huda holds, you don't require hadar, even by esrog. V'omer Rabbi Huda. This is a continuation of the Braisa. And also Rabbi Huda said, Ma'iseh b'vnei kochen. There was an incident that happened somewhere far away. Rashi writes, She'ein darin al-mokum pardes and vinde kol mitzuyin sham. Wherever these cities were, they were far away from places where palm trees grow. They would give over as an inheritance their lulavim to their grandchildren. My Saba, Shalom Yuel, see, he has a bucket in his, actually it's more like a big huge vase in his basement, which with every single lulav he's had for I don't know how many years, they're whiter than his hair. No, well, if you dry them out properly, they know. They could get moldy if there's dry enough air, they really dry out. They become like white and dry. And they used to give them to their grandchildren. They sit there. They're decoration. Anyway, it's segula. That's probably why Baruch Hashem, he's lived so long. They say it's a segula to keep your arba minim, you know. Some people say that if you have leftover lulav and this and the other thing, you should burn them with your chametz. But other people say, but then you lose your segula. So some other people save them. And anyway, I don't know, that's why he did it. So, Rabbi Huda said, I'll prove to you that I'm right. That they can be yavesh. Because there was a Ma'aseh Shahai where they used to give the lulavim to their grandchildren. You can imagine how old those lulavim must have been. They certainly must have been yavesh. Amru, loy, so they said back to him, Yisham Raya, that's your proof that a lulav yavesh is kasher. Ein shas hadchak raya. What's a shas hadchak?
Oh, pressing time.
Yeah, sha'a is a time. Dechak means pressing. So when there's a pressing time, a time where that really pushes you against the wall, so that's dachuk. So then that's not a proof. That's not a proof. They had no choice. Why did they do that if it's not kosher?
And,
yeah, what do you say?
They know their option.
Well, here's interesting. The Mishnah itself, the Braisa just said, if you don't have an esrog, you're not allowed to do what? To use a different type of fruit, right? What if it's yavesh? Well, first of all, maybe it's kosher, I don't know. But yeah, what do you say, Albert? So that's what we're trying to work out. Seemingly, yeah, right? Because Rebbe said yavesh is kosher. Isn't he talking about all of the four species? I don't know. So then he gives an example from lulav, and he says, I'll prove it to you, because by lulav, we know that yavesh is kosher. And he said, that's a kosher? It was a shas al chak. He had no choice. Well, then why are you using a lulav? So just don't use it. What's the point? What do you think? Ami, what do you think? Jason, come on. Why would they use a dried up lulav if it's not kosher? What's shas al chak? What? It's all they had, so therefore what? It's not possible, so why would you use it?
If you have a mitzvah to do so,
because then what?
To teach them the right way to do it.
What's a chinuch? What do you mean?
It doesn't have to be kosher.
Oh, you're saying something else. First of all, you should just know that it does have to be kosher for proper chinuch. If a kid is old enough for the mitzvah, you can't give him a lemon. You have to give him the actual chetzes mitzvah. Even if he doesn't realize. But I thought you were going to say something else, yeah?
Just to show them, like, don't forget
to do this. Right. In other words, let's say that people for years and years and years don't have lulavim. Albert, is that what you're going
to
say?
Yeah.
Perfect. Great. So if they don't have a lulav for years and years, what's going
to
happen?
Right.
They're going to forget about it. And when they actually do have access to lulavim, they're going to be, oh, you don't need that. But Chumash says that, no, that's not our menu. That's not how we do it here. Yeah? No? Fine. So that's Mistama where they use it. So that was a shas al chak. Because they lived in a place where they didn't have lulavim, they used the dried ones, probably, so people wouldn't forget about the lulav.
So nowadays, there's probably never been a year where you don't have access to lulavim.
Therefore what?
There is a dried one you can give to your kids. I mean, there's never going to come a year, or let's say even 2 years, that's the strong where you can't get a lulav. So what's the point? I mean, I understand the school part of it, but
oh, why save that? I don't know. So, Ein Shazucha Graya, Katani Miyaz Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afi Veshin Chamer. Okay, so you don't like Rabbi Yehuda's proof, but at the end of the day, he did say that Yavesh is Kasher. And isn't he talking about all four species? My love, Esrig, is it not that he's talking about at least also, for sure, also, not only, but also the Esrig? Answers Gemara, Loi, Alula. No, he was only talking about lulav.
Literally,
lulav. Yeah, on lulav. All right, so that's a little difficult, right? Because on the one hand, you're right, because he said, I'll prove it to you from this case, and it's not really a good case because lulav is different than everything else, right? Because lulav can be yavesh, so what does it have to do with an esrig, unless he's only talking about lulav? Anyway, so but that's what the Gemara says, is that you don't have to say he was talking about all of them. He was only talking about lulav. Okay? What can I do? No proof. Amar Mar, the master said, Kishem shein poich simen kach ein mesifin aleihen. You need to say this in a braisa. Just like you're not allowed to have too few species, you're also not allowed to have too many. You're not allowed to detract from mitzvahs, you're not allowed to add to mitzvahs. This is a topic for another time, but just planting seeds in your mind. When we speak about taking away mitzvahs or adding mitzvahs, there are two ways to look at that. One way to take away mitzvahs is to say, oh, you see this thing? It doesn't apply anymore. That's taking away mitzvahs, right? And adding mitzvahs would be, oh, I have a new mitzvah for you. The other way to look at it is what our Gemara is discussing, is this mitzvah has four components to it. You're not allowed to perform the mitzvah with less than that. You're not allowed to perform the mitzvah with more than that. So let's say you want to go ahead and have three sections in your tefillin shel rosh, taking away from the mitzvah. Let's say you want to add one. I have five. You're adding to the mitzvah. This is where Rav Sheffler has his ha'ara, that there are, what about if you have a mitzvah and it has two components? and you decide you're going to perform the mitzvah with only one out of the two. Isn't that taking away from the mitzvah? Let's say you don't like a surrogate. So you'll say, but you're not yotze. But what if there's a mitzvah where you could be yotze with only part? I was thinking tzitzis. Tchilis. What if you can be yotze the mitzvah without tchilis? Which we know you can. But it's not the way you're supposed to do the mitzvah. You're supposed to do the mitzvah with tchilis. So if tchilis is not accessible, it's not available, it's not around, it's okay. What can you do? But if it is around, and you choose not to use it, are you violating an avera of taking away from the Torah?
Maybe it's not just as good as a mitzvah.
Or is it just that you're not doing the mitzvah? B'shlei Musa. Are you actually taking away from the mitzvah?
Is it two different mitzvahs to have the tzitzis and to have the tefillah?
I don't think so. But this, if you only have, and you're doing the best you can, so that's a different story. But what if they're both available? You decide, I'm only going to do one. So is that a violation of Batigra? Interesting question. In any case, food for thought. So our Gemara says that in our case, you're not allowed to take away, you're not allowed to add. I mean, come on, this is the mitzvah in the Torah. We know this already. I don't need a braisa to tell me I'm not allowed to add or take away components of mitzvah. Pshita! That's obvious. Ma the same. What is there to say? Meaning, I would have thought. Since Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav requires three out of the four minim to be bound together. Now, Rashi helps us out here. You have to add a little thing to this Gemara to understand the sentence. And if you don't tie it together, and you maisi bring mina achrina another species. In other words, it has to be bound. If you didn't bind it, and you added another species, hi, this one, luchude, luchud, alone, chad, on, like one, this one alone, kai, exists, v'hai luchude, kai, and this one alone exists. What does that mean? Now, I would have thought that since they have to be bound together, if you didn't bind them, and you just hold them all together at the same time, since they're not bound together, I have lulav, Hadassim, Aravos, and roses. It's beautiful. And since I didn't tie them together, I didn't add anything to the mitzvah. If I add another bias to my tefillin, I added something to the mitzvah. But if I just tape or just hold on another parsha next to it, I mean, they're not together. I didn't add to the mitzvah. So I would have thought that that was fine. Kamash Malan, no. Even that is problematic. Even to hold them all together, not bound, unbound, is still a problem of adding to the mitzvah, because you're holding them all together, it's still adding to the mitzvah. So what was that addressing? That was addressing why Rabbi Yehuda holds, well, why you need the statement of ein pochasin and ein mosifin. That's obvious. You can't add and take away from mitzvahs. No, because there is a case where it's a chiddush, where it's not actually one of the components because it's not bound together, as you would have thought, that would be okay. No, that's really what the Braisa means to say, is that that's a problem even though they're not bound together. Okay. Amar Mar, the Master also said, Le'matza Esrik, if you can't find an Esrik, Le'yavi, Le'rimay, Le'parish, Le'davar Acher, you can't bring another fruit. Again, the Gemara here reversed the order, didn't it? Didn't it say Parish, Le'rimon before? Am I forgetting? Not sure why I'm worried about that. Okay. But whatever it is, I don't see anybody correcting it in my Gemara. You're not allowed to bring a pomegranate, you're not allowed to bring a quince, you're not allowed to bring anything else. Pshita! Obviously! This is what we just said. You're not allowed to add the mitzvahs, you're not allowed to change mitzvahs, you can't just pick something else up. So remember how I asked you, what's going on with Rabbi Yehuda and the dried up lulav? Why are they bringing the dried up lulav in? If you hold it, you're not yotze, what would be the point? So Albert, what did you answer? They're living in a place where there aren't any lulavim, so? And people are going to? So Gemara says, what in the world do you need to tell me you're not allowed to bring a different fruit for? Obviously. So what does Gemara answer? Mao the same, I might have thought, Lysi, you should bring something, some other fruit, especially a quince, it looks like an esrig. Ki hechi shalei tishkach toiras esrig. So that you don't forget about the Torah, the laws, the concept of an esrig. What do you mean? Because if you don't have an esrig, what does that mean? It means there's no esrogim available. If you're living in a place where you can't get an Esrog, which certainly could happen back in the day, so then people are going to forget there's even a concept of an Esrog. So you should take something. Isn't that why they did the dried up lulavim? I will add to this. The answer is yes, right?
Wouldn't it be also for lulav also?
If you don't have a lulav.
Dried up lulav so that they wouldn't forget lulav. They're also putting that idea for Esrog.
Yeah. Right, you should use something else. It's just that what's the difference between the lulav case and our esrog case? Is that the lulav was dry and therefore no good. But what are we suggesting? You don't have an esrog, you should use a what?
Pomegranate
or a quince or something like that, right?
So that a lulav that's possible, it's dry. But you say you should use it, so you don't forget. So what happens when you have an esrog that's possible, right? Use that.
Good question. Maybe. Maybe that would be true. But the Mishnah is saying what you can't do is use a different fruit. Well, why not? So that's the difference. Come Ashmalan, it comes to teach us, Zimnin denafik churva mine. Sometimes, nafik, poke. What's poke mean again?
Go out.
Good. Zimnin denafik churva. What's a churva? Churva shul, old city, churva? What do you mean? Okay. Har Sinai, Yana Diyuma, this week's Parsha. Ruins. Literally, in ruins. Zimnin, times, denafik will come out, churva, ruins, mine, from it. The Asi, that they will come, lemisrach, to become spoiled, to get messed up. Normal English. There are some times when it'll end up being a disaster, or a disaster will emerge from it, because they will come to mess up. And what? And think that you're supposed to use a pomegranate. You're supposed to use a quince.
Watermelon.
What are these, like, Yemenites? You use a watermelon, yeah? So what's going on? So what's the difference? So the lulav is still a lulav. It's just too dry. So what's the disaster? Well, we're not worried about a disaster, because personal, no, you can use a lulav. It's just we don't have a choice. We don't have any. But it's a lulav. It's just dried out. But here, it's a different fruit. So to bring a different fruit, that you're not allowed to do, even if you don't have any accessible or available. That's an interesting rule to keep in mind. When were Chazal concerned for things that get messed up? When were they not concerned for things that get messed up? It's interesting to ponder. There's a Ma'aseh Shehayah, a great book called something like The Escape of the Belzer Rebbe. When the Belzer Rebbe escaped from the Holocaust, and he ended up getting snuck into Hungary, ended up in Tel Aviv. And he ended up in Hungary before Tel Aviv. And they were two esrogim they were able to get a hold of. One was for the Rebbe, and one went out and forgot for something else, somebody else, on whatever it was. And so the Rebbe made an announcement that after he is notel his lulav and esrog, whatever that's from Rebbe's, everyone's welcome to come and partake of his. So he'll give it to them, right? Because that's yours the first day, whatever. So they said to the Rebbe, are you sure you want to do this? You know. And sure enough, everybody came through, and everybody took turns. The entire town, wherever it was in Budapest, wherever it was. They all came through, and they used his lulav and esrog. By the time the day was over, the esrog was black. And they said it to the Rebbe, and they said, Rebbe, this is mamish pasul, it's not hadar. And the Rebbe looked at the esrog, and he said, this is the most beautiful esrog I've ever seen. Yeah, tashma. Esrog hayashan, not esrog hayashen, not a sleeping esrog. This is an esrog hayashan. This is a very old one. Pasul, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Rabbi Yehuda holds that an esrog that is too old, it is dried out, is still kosher. Wait a minute. What did Rava say? You want to say tiyuvta to Rava tiyuvta? What's a tiyuvta? A nuclear bomb, Kasha. Tiyuvta means an unanswerable question. Knockout punch.
No.
Knockout punch. Wait, what is this? What? Rava? What happened over here? What's a tiyuvta to Rava? What did Rava say? What? What did Rava say? Anybody know? Where's Rava? What did Gemara just do? Tashma Ezra got Yashan Pasol. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. So what do we say? We said that when it comes to lulav, what's Rabbi Yehuda's position about lulav ha-yavesh? Yashan and yavesh means the same thing, by the way. Don't get confused. I got confused when I read it. Yashan means old. So it's old. Maybe it's not yavesh.
Yeah.
It's yavesh.
Why?
Because it is. How did it get yavesh? Because yashan means it's from last year. And apparently it's impossible that it could be from last year and not be dried up. A year. I think it means from the previous year, I think.
Even if you take care of it.
So, I don't know. I'll let you try.
Take care of flowers.
It seems like it's not possible. I think what would happen is if you keep it in water, I think it opens and it becomes like icky.
What if you like keep it in the fridge?
Right, so they didn't have them.
Oh, okay.
But I think you're right. I think that nowadays you might be able to pull it off.
Yeah. It was really funny.
Anyway, so what did
Rabbi? Like,
I'm just trying to be funny. I hope you're not taking it. Okay. Anyway, what did Rabbi say? So Rabbi was the one that explained Rabbi Yehuda in a specific way. Rabbi Yehuda was the one that we said a lulav that is yavesh is still kasher, and the shaila was what about esrig? And Rabbi was the one that's on record saying esrig still requires hadar. Esrig requires. It's only that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make a, what's the word?
Hegesh.
He doesn't make a hegesh between the lulav and the esrig. But esrig has to be hadar. That's what Rava said. The only problem with that is that we have this braisa that says esrig ha-yashan, and esrig which is yavesh, puzzle. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda machshir. If it holds, then the esrog that's dried out is still kosher. But I thought it has to be hadar. Apparently not. Tiyufta, the Rava, Tiyufta. Bam! Knockout punch, nuclear bomb, call it what you will. It is a knockout punch to Rava. Apparently Rava is wrong. This doesn't happen very often in Gemara. But here it has happened. Thank you. We will get you to demonstrate for us. You help us demonstrate for us a knockout punch. Straight, no wrist bending. Thank you, very good. So, what does that mean? Halach lemaise? Halach lemaise, you don't pass on like Rabbi Huda. Anyway, but if we did pass on like Rabbi Huda, then Rabbi Huda's position would be that even an esrog doesn't have to be hadar. Wow. Velo boy, hadar? Rabbi Huda doesn't require the esrog to be hadar? Right, Josh? I thought pre-eights hadar. I thought esrog has to be beautiful. Whether it's because it's the pre-hadar of an eights, or however you read it, what's going on over here? V'ha ananitinan, but behold, we learn in a Mishnah, ha-yarok kikarsi. What's yarok kikarsi? Yarok is what color?
Green.
Green. You know what karsi is?
Leek.
Leek, right. Anyone here ever seen a leek?
Yeah, it's green, yes.
Oh, good. It's green. Rabbi Meir machshir. Rabbi Meir holds an esrig that is that green is kosher. Rabbi Yehuda, poisel. Yehuda holds that an esrog that's green is no good. Now, why do you think that would be?
Because it's not fully grown.
Because it's not beautiful.
It's not
who wants an esrog that's green? It's not ripe yet. And it's not beautiful. Once it starts to become yellow, then for sure it's good alpi halacha. But we do paskin that an esrog that's yara kikarsi is really green. It couldn't really be a problem. Maybe it's only the ones that never get. Okay, we can discuss la halacha. But she tried to avoid it. I know somebody that every year he is sent by somebody that he really respects an esrog, and almost, I don't know, all the time, but frequently it comes dark, dark green. And he loves to use it because it comes from this person that he feels is very holy. And I think the person is machshil him, giving him a pasul esrog. But in any case, so an esrog that's green like karsi, Rabbi Meir says it is kosher. Rabbi Huda holds it's pasul. Isn't that because lav? Is it not mishum debay hadar? Because Rabbi Huda requires that an esrog be hadar. So how could we just quote it a brisa, a knockout punch on Rava that it doesn't? So what's going on? So Josh, what did you say?
That it wasn't fully grown.
Like mishum gamar pira. No, it's because it hasn't. It's not completely a fruit. The fruit has not been completed.
So it's not a fruit.
Interesting, right? It sounds like it's not considered a pre yet. If the fruit is not ripe, it's not an esrog yet. What is it? I don't know. It's part of the branch.
It's nothing.
Well, it's not a fruit yet. It's something. But it's not a fruit yet. Fruit is defined as ripe enough that now you could eat it. At least b'di'eved, you know, somebody would eat it. But if this thing is so not ripe yet, and nobody would eat this thing, then it's just not a pre.
See, that's a good way of saying it, but if you say it's not chadar, whenever I hear chadar, I think it's like in the eye of the beholder. What does it mean to not be? If you want to say it's not a pre, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But if you want to say the chadar, I agree to that.
So, right, so the Gemara does reject it, but let's say that something has a big hole in it, right? Like the girl, like now she has a big hole in her face. So probably she's not going to be so beautiful, even though beauty is an eye beholder. But a big hole is a problem. So you don't like my example. So there are certain things that apparently are objectively a lack in chadar. But this is not one of them, says the Gemara. Tashma. Okay, you win. So far, Esrog does not have to be chadar. Beautiful. Tashma. Come in here. Different proof. Shiur. Esrog katan. Right? How short can she be and you'll still go out with her? Shir Esrig Katan, the shir, the dimensions of a small Esrig. Rabbi, what is the smallest Esrig can be? Rabbi Meir says, Ke'egoiz, like a, I'll go out on a limb here and say a walnut. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Ke'veitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, like an egg. Okay, so what's the problem with an Esrig that's as small as an egg? If it's smaller than an egg, what's the problem? Obviously, it's not beautiful. Because it's cute, but it's not beautiful. La Mishum, the boy, Hadar, is it not because Rabbi Huda requires that it be beautiful? Loi, Mishum, the loi, Gamar, Pira. Again, it's not a full fruit yet. Now, this is a harder one to understand. Because if you say it's not ripe yet, I gotcha. But if it's just too small...
Yeah.
It is ripe. It is a fruit. Like, why would we call that not a fruit? Do you guys have a suggestion for this?
Not really.
Anybody?
You can be 4'5" and still be fully grown.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. So what? It's a runt. That's all you judge? Anyway, but that's what the Gemara is. That's what the Gemara says. So that's why that was a better kasha. It's a much better kasha than the first one. Because to suggest that it's not considered ripe because it's not fully grown. Right? That is the idea. This esrog was picked too early. Yes, it did ripen. But had it been left on the tree, it would have grown to its full dimensions. And since it wasn't given the opportunity to grow to its full dimensions, it really is considered not the full-fledged fruit that we require. But it's harder to understand. Tashma. Ibegadol. Oh! And in terms of how big it can be, Kadesh Yoichas Shnayim Yodayachas. Rabbi Yehuda. As long as you can hold two of them in one hand. So it has to be small enough. Once you can't hold two of them in one hand, it's too big. Rabbi Yossi was a Yemenite. I don't know, Taimani, whatever. They have these huge Taimani. They have these huge Esrogim, right? So he said, that's fine. As long as you can hold one Esrogim in two hands. Who said watermelon before? I mean, was that you? We're talking watermelon. So, okay. My time up. Why did Rabbi Huda require you hold two of them in one hand? Lav Mishum Dabai Hadar. Would you go out with her if she was that big? You have to hold her with both hands? No! That is not beautiful. It is too fat. Isn't that the reason? Look! Absolutely not. Cave on the Marabba. Lulav B'yamin. Be'esrog B'smol. It's a halacha. Since Rabba pointed out that, and of course Rabba was much later, but Rabba is just reflecting the halacha, that since Rabba pointed out the lulav must be held in your right hand, and the esrog b'smol, the esrog must be in your left hand. Zimnin d'mechal filei. It'll occur sometimes that a person, when he picks it up, he'll have it in the wrong hands, or not realize, or switch it, or you have to turn a page. They didn't have pages back then, but whatever. Maybe nowadays you'll have to turn your page for a halal or who knows what, and have them both in one hand. What's going to happen? The afuchinhu, and you'll have to be mahapech them. You'll have to switch them. You have to put it in the other hand. For asi, and then it'll come, le'ifsule, to become puzzle. Why would it become puzzle? because you dropped it. Can you imagine holding a watermelon and a lulav and you're trying to switch hands? It's something's going to be on the floor. So it has nothing to do with Hadar. It's fine. It's beautiful. Big is beautiful too. It's just that it's too complicated in terms of holding it, and the halacha is going to end up, you're going to have to switch hands sometimes, and then it's going to end up, hopefully not, but it could end up falling down and becoming a puzzle. Okay? The Velad Rabbi Yehuda, Haksiv, Hadar, and you've pushed me against the wall. What do you do with a pasuk? What do you do with a pasuk? It says, Hadar! No. Hahu Hadar bi'ilanoi mishana l'shana. It just means a pre-ates Hadar. It's a fruit that is dar, that lives on a tree from year to year. Esrog is on a tree much longer than maybe any other fruit remains on a tree. That's one of the ways that you can identify being as the Esrog. Everything okay back there? And that's how he learns. It actually doesn't mean beautiful at all. Wow. We are going to finish with this. Shel Asherah. V'sheira nidachas. We said that if the Esrog, if the lulav, is grows on a tree that's called an Asherah tree, a tree that was worshipped, Rav Avizar, planted for the purpose of worshipping Rav Avizar. Or it was from the Nir Nidachas, a city whose most of its inhabitants have done Avodah Zarah, and we wipe out them and their possessions, then it is pasul as a lulav. V'shel Asherah pasul, he said that if it's an Asherah tree, it is pasul. V'ha'amar Rava, but Rava, who obviously came much later than the Mishnah, but didn't Rava say, lulav shel Avodah Zarah lo yitol, a lulav that was associated, it was used, or something like that, for Avodah Zarah, you should not yitol, literally take. V'im notal, but if you did take it and you used a lulav that had to do with Avodah Zarah, kasher! It's kasher, meaning you were yotze b'di'evet. So, that's against the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, shel asher pasul. And asher is Avodah Zarah. So what's going on? How could Rava say that it's kasher b'di'evet if the Mishnah says it's pasul b'di'evet? Where it answers, Hacha b'asherah de Moshe askinan. The Mishnah is talking about what's called an asherah of Moshe. Rashi says, asherah de Moshe, oisam shahayu b'shas kibush Eretz Yisrael. The trees that were worshipped at the time that Klal Yisrael conquered the land of Israel, those are the ones that have to be destroyed. Sheitzrichan akas of sreifa. Torah says you have to burn them. Kidechsiv asherayim tisrafun ba'esh. They're asherah trees you have to burn in fire. Now, it's hard to find an asherah tree like that anymore. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, they had a mitzvah to burn all the Asherah trees. But nowadays, I don't know, maybe if someone plants it for the sake of being an Asherah tree, but that's different than Avodah Zarah. A lulav branch that was used for Avodah Zarah is Aser B'Hana'ah. You're not allowed to get any benefit from it. But because mitzvahs are not considered to be a Hana'ah, you're allowed to use things Aser B'Hana'ah for mitzvahs. What in the world did Berman just say? You could have something that's asr b'hana. Can you think of an example of something that's asr b'hana? Sometimes, maybe dog food could be asr b'hana. Because basr b'chalav, meat and milk that's cooked together, is asr b'hana. You're not allowed to get any benefit from it. Like what? Feeding it your dog. You're not allowed to feed your dog basr b'chalav. The mitzvah to feed your dog is not basr b'chalav. Basr b'chalav you're getting hana from because you're saving money. Because they're full now.
But that isn't what it says if you have tray feed it.
Yes, not asur b'hana. You're not allowed to eat it, but you can get hana. You can sell it to a guy. You can do all kinds of things with it. But basur b'chalav, you're not allowed to sell the guy. Yeah? So, it's asur b'hana. You want to be makadesh a woman with that? You want to hear marry me with this basur b'chalav, this dog food, this asur d'rais of basur b'chalav? So she's not makudeshes. It doesn't work. It's not yours. It is asur b'hana. But, so can I use it for a mitzvah? Let's say you have a lulav that was used for Avodah Zarah. It's Aser B'Hana'ah. You try to be Mekadesh and Isha with it, it won't work. You don't own it. You can't get benefit from it. So you're not. It doesn't work. She's not married to. But are you allowed to use it for mitzvah?
Why would you be allowed to use it for mitzvah if you can't use it?
Aren't you getting benefit?
Yeah.
Because you're doing a mitzvah with it. So it should be prohibited. Okay. The answer is, there's no such thing as benefit from mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are not given to you to benefit from. It's an interesting hashkaf. Mitzvahs are there for you to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu with. It's true. Learning Torah is very pleasurable. You get a lot of enjoyment from learning Torah. But that's not what the purpose is. If you don't get pleasure, it's a mitzvah nonetheless. What? You should get Olam HaBa. You should be Zochet Olam HaBa. Is that why you do mitzvahs? That's the purpose of mitzvahs. That's the reward for mitzvahs.
But then you're getting benefit from mitzvahs.
So the idea, you're correct.
You can't say you don't get benefit from mitzvahs.
No, you do. That's the point. Mitzvahs lav lehenos nitnu means that they're not given to you for benefit. There may be ancillary benefits to them, but their purpose is not the benefit.
I understand, but at the same time, I don't.
Okay, I hear what's bothering you. I hear what's bothering you because at the end of the day, there is a benefit there.
Yeah.
So you are getting benefit. You're not getting it from the mitzvah. You're getting benefit from the reward after you do it. But it's not warming you up. It's not making you. It's not doing anything for you right now by doing the mitzvah. After you do the mitzvah, there'll be a reward, and the reward is going
to
be
it's
a good
like
benefit.
Saying you have a job to do because I'm giving you a responsibility, and the money that you get isn't a benefit from it.
It's like saying I'm not paying you for the job, but I'm paying you because you know you're wasting your time. So you're going to get benefit from it eventually because I want to give you reimbursement, but I'm not paying you. Something like that. So mitzvahs lav hanas nitnu, and therefore, even though an asherah, a lulav that's used for avodah zarah and is aser b'hanah, you're allowed to use it for a mitzvah because mitzvahs are not considered to be a hanah, and therefore you're allowed to use it. But it doesn't belong to you, and ultimately you're not allowed to get any other form of benefit from it. So that's the difference between a lulav that's shel avodah zarah and a lulav of an asherah tree. A lulav of an asherah tree has to be destroyed. Because it has to be destroyed, it's considered to be non-existing. It doesn't exist because you have to destroy it. So let's just finish the Gemara. Gemara says, "Vama Rava," but didn't Rava say lulav shel avodah zarah lo yitol v'natol kasher? V'di'evad your yotze with a lulav avodah zarah? Gemara says, "Okay, fair enough." But hakama asherah nemoshes kinan. Our Mishnah is talking about an asherah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the ksusei michtas shiure, which is crushed up from having any dimensions. What? It's a very funny concept. Because you have to destroy it, in halacha, it has no dimensions.
It doesn't exist.
In halacha, it doesn't exist because you're mechuyev to destroy it. The lulav yusra avodah zarah, you don't have to destroy. You're just not allowed to get hanah from it. But this, shel asherah, you have to destroy. Because you have to destroy it, in halacha, it's considered to be not existing. It has no dimensions. And a lulav has to be three tvachim. And it's not three tvachim because it has to be destroyed. The fascinating concept. Dikanam, you can be medaikas also. Dikatani dumyo diarnitachas. Because it said, it compares it, it's in the same breath, as Iranidachas, shel asherah v'shel Iranidachas. If anything belongs to a city that most of the inhabitants did avodah zarah, you have to destroy it. You have to destroy it. Since it has to be destroyed, shma minah, you see from here that the issue in the Mishnah is not that it's aser b'hanah or something like that, but rather the issue is that it has to be destroyed. And since it has to be destroyed, it's like it already is destroyed. Since it's already like it's destroyed, it has no dimensions. Since it has no dimensions, it's not considered a lula. We'll spend a few minutes after our break.